The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Of the World's Team on Blogging the Boys Network in partnership with SB Nation. I am Meg Murray, and I'm joined, as always, by Paul Stewart. Hey, Paul, how's it going?
I'm not too bad. Obviously, I'm gutted that we're not talking about a pregame show for against the Dirty Birds, but unfortunately, we're the ones who are sitting on the couch having to witness two teams that we totally despise going against each other. So, with that being said, come on, the AFC pretty much. So other than that, I'm pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've made it blatantly obvious that I absolutely love Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and the Cincinnati Bengals. So
see, I'm with you on that one. I am on the Joe Burrow train for this one. So I would love to see Cincinnati get their first Super Bowl. Any team outside the Cowboys as of right now because of Joe Burrow. So,
and I'm not even saying this to be petty, but like the last time the Cincinnati Bengals were in the Super Bowl, they played the Niners. So like, let's just rematch it. Screw the Eagles.
Last year,
I should clarify because I guess they were there last year, but I meant like the last time before that.
Because I was going to say, wait, weren't they in the Super Bowl last year?
Pre-Burrow.
There we go.
Yeah. I never want to go back to that time because Joe Burrow is the one for everyone.
He is the one and only.
Obviously, you love him because I'm an LSU fan. So in case anyone missed that, that would be why. But let's just do a quick debrief on that game that we had to witness on Sunday night against the 49ers. Give me your thoughts. You had to stay up late and deal with it.
You know, I'm really all for one of my one-word summaries. Inconsistent. That is the general theme of that game and all across this season, of games that we should have won that we lost and games that we should have lost that we won and actually blow teams out the water. And in this game here, everything was handed to us on a plate. Their defensive line were not really doing much to get to Dak in the game, but even still, our offense just could not perform to what we were doing the week before against Tom Brady. So I'm flabbergasted, I'm confused, I'm frustrated as any other Cowboys fan right now, and as we're kind of seeing right now, we're seeing positional coaches getting dropped, etc., etc. And yeah, so I think for going forward now, I think a clean out is probably needed, and I think we, like, just kind of thinking overall, like, we may need to kind of lower expectations next season, depending.
Well, my expectations for this season going into it were below the ground. That's the thing.
Like, this season alone, after losing Cooper, Gregory, etc.,
and then Tyron Smith, And then Dak Prescott.
Yeah, like all the odds were against us, and yet we still had a 12-5 season. And if that's one thing, and before we went off, started recording, you were going to ask me, is like, what's our general thoughts about as our season being successful? I would say yes. Like, the fact that we've actually turned things around against this came at us, but we've outperformed that. But the outperformance side of the inconsistency of our offense against teams that we should have absolutely annihilated just completely fall on its backside. So that's the frustrating part of the team. It's like, we know we can beat any team in the NFL any given Sunday when we show up. But I just don't know why there's some days we just don't show up. That's what really annoys me right now.
Yeah, I think, when you said inconsistent, I think that really encompasses just like this whole, honestly, the whole team. I would say, like, I wanted to just say the offense, but the defense has been a little inconsistent here and there. Granted, we're dealing with a lot of stuff this season. Like, if you go back and listen to any of my thoughts on either Girls Talking Boys or on here, I said we're going 0-17, and I said that we suck and everything is terrible.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what your actual regular season record prediction was going to be. I did say we were going to be.
I said 0-17, and I was not being serious, but I was being kind of serious.
I wasn't far off, to be fair. I did say 11-6.
11-6 and 0-17 are a little different, but yeah.
I'm pretty sure I said that. It was either that.
I think you did. Like, you had us with a like good winning record, and I like. Yeah. If I was being honest with myself, I probably was more so where you were at, but I was like so not willing to give them that benefit of the doubt. And then after that first game, you know, going into the first game, we had lost Tyron, and I was like, well, we're done. And then after that first game, I was like, oh, we're really done. Like, we're cooked. Like, just call it a year.
Yeah, I think nearly every single Cowboys fan were thrown in the towel then. Saving Grace, Cooper Rush, playing a more simplified playbook seemed to keep us going. And we managed to keep the ball rolling and keep it going and keep it going. And I still had my doubts in mind because there was some games where we were still being inconsistent. So if I'm going to be brutally honest, I did not think we were going to make the Super Bowl because of that being inconsistent. And it just kind of proved that against San Francisco there. It's like, it's just so weird. It looks like it's two completely different offenses. It's like we're bipolar, or we've got split personality disorder of an offense. It's like there's that one offense is completely screwed on. They're really attacking the ball. They're going after it. We're attacking the run, and there's the other side of the offense. We just look very deflated. We look confused. We're not communicating properly. I'm just like, why is there such a big gap in certain games here? Like, I just can't, like, and if anything, that's on our OC and our positional coaches on that as well.
Yeah, I think it goes, I'll just say, like, okay, so after that first game, my expectations were underground. But, you know, the word of this season has been resilience. I think that this team does have a lot of resilience.
Agreed.
But to your point, I think, and no one wants to hear this dead horse get beat again, but I'm just going to briefly mention, I think we can all agree that, like, he doesn't have enough offensive weapons. And I'm talking specifically about the wide receiver core. We wanted Michael Gallup to come back and be what he once was, but he just never made it there this year. And that's not to say that he can't do that going forward, but that's just the simple facts from this year. Then you have Noah Brown that you're relying on. It's just not going to cut it. And I think you can look back to that Amari Cooper when they simply traded him for peanuts and be like, this is a big problem. He, like, Dak did not have the support that he needed. They were able to, you know, keep him off his back a little bit more. than one would expect with the patchwork O-line that we managed to put together. But he just really didn't have any help. And then he started to get, you know, aggressive to just like make things happen.
Yeah, he had to force himself.
And it forced him into a lot of bad positions. And that's when you're just like, what is going on? It's because he doesn't have anybody. Like, if you have these guys that just like completely lock down Dalton Schultz and you have to rely on CD, but people are going to be all up on him too. There's like, you have to spread around the love, and he tries. And then you'll get the bounce off of Noah. You'll get off Peyton Hendershot, all that stuff. And it's just like, he doesn't have anyone that's matching his aggression level.
See, here's a really interesting statistic. Mike brought this up yesterday on the UK Cowboys on the fan rant. And he mentioned that obviously CD Lamb was number one and Dalton Schultz was number two in terms of the efficiency, in terms of getting the passes. Stuff like that. Number three, of all the whole season, in terms of catch and pass success rate efficiency, is T.Y. Hilton. He's not even been with the team for 4 weeks.
That's freaking sad.
That just like, it really does come to show that there's a big drop in quality in terms of our wide receiver core. Like, we would have thought Jalen Tolbert would have, yeah, we would have thought he would have stepped up, but no, he's not even been on the field. So, no. I mean,
yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think we're both like right here. It's just like, the problem is what you're surrounding him with. And you're expecting him to act like he has Jamar Chase and T. Higgins and I could go on, Joe Mixon, whatever. But like, you're telling us to act like he has that support. He doesn't. He has CD, and sometimes he has Dalton.
Yeah.
And Dalton was injured. So.
Yep, exactly. He was injured for.
He didn't do anything to help him out. Simply put, like, James Washington, who's that guy? I don't know him.
Yeah. I don't know what else to really say. I know we're sending, we're bashing quite a lot, and fairness, though, in retrospective, like, could the front office could have done a lot more before the season started and give Dak more variety? Yes, they could have. Like, the loss of Amari Cooper was a big hit on us. Not just as a fan favorite and stuff like that, but it's just in terms of his route running, his catching ability, separation, everything. Amari Cooper is an elite wide receiver, and he's doing that with pretty much backups in Cleveland right now.
I'm not going to say anything about Dak's play against the Niners, because simply put, it was bad. But for example, I think that interception had his, like, cut in.
I think your microphones went a little bit weird, Meg.
Can you hear me?
It sounds like, and I'm getting feedback.
Can you hear me now?
There we go.
Okay. Well, I got rid of the microphone. Anyways, so I'm not trying to excuse Dak's play on the field. Like, it was bad. Simply put, not good. Just, it was not good. It was not good enough, and it just wasn't good, period. But, like, I think our point is, and it was, like, glaringly obvious in this play, is when he threw that interception that was supposed to be headed towards Michael Gallup, and Gallup just, like, literally didn't run his route and wasn't there.
Yeah, it's like he took two extra steps. Like, it's like a 8-step or a 10-step going upfield, then coming back, like, There was definitely miscommunication in terms of the play calling, whether that was on Dak passing the information to the wide receivers or it was from Kellen Moore to Dak or whatever. So
you just have to be able to trust your guys. And like, he doesn't have anyone he can rely on other than like the people that we mentioned already. And T.Y. Hilton being the third is just absurd. Like, that should like tell you everything you need to know right there.
Yeah. Yeah. That just comes to show that, like, we knew when we brought T.Y. in, he's going to bring experience. He's going to be like I wouldn't say safety blanket as such, but you would have someone somewhat reliable in that wide receiver core other than Lamb to play. So,
Yeah.
and don't get me wrong, like Noah Brown was reliable under Cooper Rush. Like he was probably he outshone CD Lamb in those early parts of those games. But as Dak came back, it was clearly shown that he kept targeting his favorite guys all the time. So I kind of feel like if there's one thing going forward, Dak needs to get every single wide receiver from rookies to starters to come by in the offseason and work together to go forward.
I can absolutely see him doing that. I think the thing for me is also going to be like, you really are going to have to rectify that situation. That room needs attention and there needs to be new blood in there. Like, simply put, that will like really match his aggression at least. Like, come on. Like, you're going to have to look in the draft. You're going to have to look in free agency. You're going to have to make something work because how it is right now is not going to work.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Meg. Totally
Yeah.
agree.
But silver lining,
Oh, yes.
we do get to keep Dan Quinn. Swag
Yeah. Hell yes.
Dan.
We actually might have a future. No, honestly, keeping Dan Quinn is massive. At least we're keeping stability in our defense going forward. Like, because Dan Quinn's been 2 years in a row now, hot topic, going for a head coaching role with multiple teams, Carolina, Cardinals, et cetera, and
Houston
yet,
Texans,
tech.
Denver Broncos. Yep.
The names keep coming, and he's decided. He stated, said, I've got unfinished business here in Dallas. I want to get us to a Super Bowl. That to me speaks absolute volumes. I want that coach to like that. When I say I want that coach, he is our coach. He is a defensive coordinator. The fact that he wants to succeed and win silverware and win that Lombardi trophy for Dallas as a DC, that honestly, like, I am over the freaking moon that Dan Quinn has stayed.
I couldn't have put it better, really. If you want to hear, so there was an emergency podcast about this the other day, so be sure to check that out. Also, Kelsey and I talked about it on Girls Talking Boys. So I won't repeat myself too much, but I absolutely agree with Paul's sentiments there. I think it was just a foregone conclusion for all of us at the end of the year. We were like, not only did we just lose to the 49ers and we don't get to go to the NFC Championship, we are losing Dan Quinn. Like, that's just inevitable. It's going to happen. He is like very coveted for all these roles that are open for a head coach. And he said, no, I have something really good going here and I want to win a Super Bowl in Dallas. That might be the hottest thing I've ever heard.
So this kind of leads me to my question for you, Meg.
Yeah.
So Dan Quinn has a great relationship with his players. You see all like Micah Parsons, D-Law, in interviews, talk high praise about Dan Quinn. Do you ever see any offensive players talk about Kellen Moore like that?
I can't say that anything comes to mind.
And don't forget, special teams guys talk about John Fassel. So, like, it's
Right.
like, so I don't, I'm not trying to be devil's advocate or cause a stir, but I do think there is an issue when it comes to our OC and our offensive players. Like, they're just not having that same type of bond and understanding. And we went into depth on this yesterday, again, on the UK Cowboys during the fan run. It feels like, especially with Kellen and Dak, it does not feel like it's a coach and player relationship. It feels like two friends relationship. Like, for example, if Dak does a mistake, Kellen will probably just say, like, he's not coaching him to say, don't do that again, type of thing. That's the impression I'm getting as a fan. I don't know how other people see that, but it just kind of feels like it's not like you're, if we were to bring a different offensive coordinator, a more hard-nosed guy, he would be drilling Dak Prescott to the ground and saying, stop doing what you're doing, do it this way, you'll make less mistakes, type of thing. It seems like we're just not learning from our mistakes under Kellen
Well,
Moore.
and we don't, okay, so we are recording this on Friday afternoon. So I know that Kellen and Mike are meeting today. I do not know at this time Well, if he'll be here tomorrow. So, unclear.
It'd be very interesting because already we've lost offensive line coach Joe Philbin, who was one of Mike McCarthy's guys, which
and
I was quite.
One of our nemesises on this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, in fairness, he has. To me, I thought he redeemed himself this season, Joe Philbin. I think we're under the stress of losing Tyron Smith. The switching up with Tyler Smith going to left tackle, then switching him back to left guard. I think he's actually, under the circumstances, he did a great job this year. Like, and obviously with the emergence of Terrence Steele, but I think a lot of that work is kind of due to Terrence Steele doing the work he did in the offseason with Duke Manyweather and stuff like that. So I think, overall, I think I'm actually kind of like, I wouldn't say gutted, but I know there would be better options out there as of offensive line coaches out there, but I think overall in perspective, Philbin did a good job this year. And is Philbin the guy to take his to the next level with the O-line? Probably not. So I think if the next guy that does come in, I think you might expect to see a big massive difference in terms of technique and aggression when it comes to the O-line and maybe kind of make it more run-based. Blocking, like more run focus for the Russian, perhaps.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would actually, I think that's a great point. I think that would be a good thing to look at when you're looking for your next guy. I do agree with you. I was kind of surprised by that one, mostly because, like, he really did make the O-line work where I was a little unsure about his process there.
It was unexpected, like, this year. Like, especially when it came to 2021, where, like, we were scrutinizing Joe Philbin a lot. Like, and
you
I'm just
see
like,
me right now, I just nodded my head a lot.
Yeah, guys, if you were to see the video version of this video, Meg is just constantly bobbing her head, like, yes, up and down, like Jack Nicholson.
But no, yeah, that's what was surprising. But I think, honestly, it seems to me, at least, they have not said this, but it just feels like we have another year where you're successful during the season.
Mm-hmm.
You made it to the playoffs, and then you ultimately flamed out and failed in an embarrassing fashion. And they're not doing anything about Mike McCarthy, and I don't think they should. And they're keeping Dan Quinn, and I think that's the best news. And so don't get me wrong here, but like they're trying to fix something. They're trying to like wash away the last two seasons and like start fresh in any way that they can. And I think that's refreshing to see.
I think it's a good move from Mike McCarthy because I think he's realized now that the guys he brought in back in 2020, well, the majority of those guys, like likes of Philbin and stuff like that, it's not up to what his expectations. And like you said, as is today is Friday afternoon, he is going to meet up with Kellen. So we don't know what's going to happen. Whether Kellen's still going to be the OC or not, that remains to be seen. I think McCarthy realizes what's good is working, which is Dan Quinn, which is Adam Durde as well, the defensive line coach. They're doing an absolutely fantastic job for Dallas. They're being kept. And yeah, and I think when it comes to some certain other positions and positional coaches, Mike McCarthy is being a head coach, he thinks, okay, this is our weakest points. I want to kind of revamp this and bring someone else in who might potentially make this better. So yeah, I've got full respect for McCarthy for doing that, and that's what a head coach should do.
I completely agree with you. I thought it was telling, and I think that, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results.
That's true.
Locker yeah. room and the head coach have decided that our bar is no longer underground. We expect a heck of a lot more out of everybody. And I think that it shows, because he was like, look, we were doing fine here, but I want to do great here. I don't want to be fine. So I like that.
And that's a good mentality from a head coach. It's like, fine is not acceptable. Great is acceptable. Yep.
Yeah. I'm not going to pretend like I have never criticized Mike McCarthy. I didn't want him here, honestly. But I think I was talking to Kelsey yesterday on Girls Talking Boys, and I was like, my biggest takeaway from this season was that Mike McCarthy is a good head coach and I don't need Sean Payton.
Yeah. I honestly, like, personally for me, I don't see what else Sean Payton can do to do what Mike McCarthy is doing right now, personally.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, Sean will have his guys that he might want to bring in, type of thing. But in terms of, when you really look at it, like, in terms of accolades, winning records, and stuff like that, like, they're almost, like, parallel.
I know.
To each other. So I'm just kind of like,
See, that was my thought, and I was like, I know he's extremely rude to people that are in the building. And I like, why would we mess with this chemistry that this team clearly has with each other by bringing in someone who's like, I'm sure he's nice to his players, but he is rude to everybody else. And it was just like mess up the entire vibe.
See again, this is
in a bad way.
even defensive players and even some of the offensive players do praise our head coach.
Yeah.
And not Kellen.
See, the thing is, like, and I'm obviously, we both know a lot of people in that building, and they're just like, Mike McCarthy is nice. He is respectful. He yep. treats everybody like a human being. And I was like, oh, that's great. So everyone in the building loves Mike McCarthy. I think I'm fine. I don't need Sean. He can go somewhere else.
Yeah, he can keep going on Fox TV or whatever show he's doing, analyst, whatever not. Like, I think his coaching, like, I wouldn't say his coaching days are over, but he will go back into coaching, but I just don't want him at Dallas, to be perfectly honest.
I just don't, like, I know that's what Jerry, like, would die to do. Well, maybe not die. He would like to live forever. But he definitely wanted Sean. I think that, though, that he sees the value in keeping Mike here, and, you know, and the pressure will be on to make it to at least the championship next year. Like, we can't settle for divisional round knockouts anymore. Like, it's just not it.
I know.
No one knows that better than him right now. So
And I think for, like, Jerry and Steven to reflect and look at how the 49ers are right now, they are playing against their defenses are playing against opposing offenses where they're playing against first-string backups, etc. They're not the best quarterbacks in the world, but they have the weapons round about them. They have that team chemistry. They're all connected. They know what they're doing. Whereas us, we do know what we're doing at times, but we completely switch off when it really does matter.
Yeah, I just, overall, I think you can put those hard-nosed guys, like, closer to the ball and the players and stuff like that. But I think having a respected guy that it, like, runs your team is, as the head coach, not Jerry, is, like, really important. I think I'm glad that Jerry has essentially said that he is not going anywhere, because he said he wants him to coach here as long as Tom Landry did. And that was 29 years. So I don't know if that's going to happen, but it sounds like he'll be here for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I totally agree.
All right. And so we kind of touched on this. You said that you believe that this season was a success.
Yes. In hindsight, yes. When you look at the overall picture, We did 1 year. We did one better than last year.
To the same team. No, I agree with you, though. I do believe that the season was a success overall. But here's the thing. If you copy and paste this season onto next season, it's a failure. Like I said, the divisional round is no longer good enough. So,
yeah.
I
totally agree. It's like we essentially did copy and paste from 2021 to this season.
Mm-hmm.
With lesser quality, but yet we still managed to reach one step further.
Yeah.
So when you put it in that context, it has been a successful season. But when you look beyond that, there's a lot of bads, but a lot and quite a fair bit of goods in that season. Like Minnesota game was really good. That fourth quarter against the Colts was breathtaking. I still can't believe that actually happened. Then the week after, the Bats struggling against the worst team in the NFL, which was the Texans, struggling against Jacksonville. In fairness, they did actually turn their season around. Like at that point, Jacksonville were just very up and down. You just didn't know what to expect. But you would expect Dallas to beat a team like that, and we didn't. So, and God, even like so Green Bay were there for the taking, losing five games in a row, losing to the Giants in London the week prior before that, and Aaron Rodgers making really bad mistakes, and yet we did not take advantage of that, and we just let them run all over us. So again, it goes back to that one word: inconsistent.
Yes, and obviously we touched on how I think that they need to improve the wide receiver room. We have an NFL draft coming up. What are your biggest needs that you see?
Well, I think we definitely need to kind of consider another defensive tackle, because I don't see my guy Neville Gallimore getting re-signed. I think we might need to look into the later rounds for another interior D lineman. But in terms of our first round, I think it's going to be a best player available. If there's going to be a linebacker there or a wide receiver there that Jerry might like, I think that's what the pick's going to be. But it would not surprise me if it was a wide receiver. I know the talk right now is Bijan Robinson from Texas. That's what the media's talking right now. I do not see the point in that when you've got Zeke Elliott, who's still got years in his contract. If we were to cut Zeke, we would actually be damaged significantly in the salary cap. And also with Tony Pollard, we may actually get a bargaining chip. I know this sounds bad to say, but with Pollard's injury, that might be a bargaining chip for us to get him re-signed in a cheaper deal, and might put other teams off from trying to get him in free agency. So that's where my mind is on that. So I do not see the point.
You're doing the whole Michael Gallup deal, huh?
Well, the thing is with the Michael Gallup deal is, right, I know Michael Gallup is a good player, right? I just knew this season was going to be a downhill for him from coming back from a serious injury. I think the expectations were just too high on him. Just he is getting paid like a number two wide receiver. But I would expect that next season to be the redemption year from Gallup. So, but
yeah,
who knows? Like, we might get that other right for like that trio of wide receivers with Lamb and Gallup and whoever.
And insert name here, Odell Beckham Jr. Or somebody.
Oh no, do not go there. I don't want to go down that Beckham route again, please, Meg.
Well, he wasn't ready to play, so that's why that didn't work. Okay. However, I don't know if that's the answer here. It's likely not. John Machota made a good point the other day that I really liked. If like you're at 26, you have a very good history of evaluating and selecting these players and then working out. Why not another O lineman?
See, I was just about to say that, and that's the first group I've been scouting right now. So there's a interior offensive lineman from Florida. I cannot even pronounce his name. I don't have my notes on me right now, but I have been studying right now on the interiors right now from who potentially could be first rounders, second rounders, and third rounders right now. So I am doing my due diligence because I think Tyler Smith will be our left tackle in the future. I think if we do bring back McGovern, cool. I'll be happy with that. As a band-aid, if he's there on a more consistent basis and playing, then we might not need to draft an interior lineman so early on. We might need to draft one later on. Because I think the problem is we've got right now is the depth still. If Tyler Smith goes out and Tyron Smith goes out, all you've got is Josh Ball, pretty much.
That is like everybody's worst case scenario, and it makes me laugh every time it gets brought up.
I don't see Josh Ball being in the potential future being in the roster. So I think we will need to look at left tackle as well, right tackle, just for depth wise. We've got Willett still coming back, who was redshirted as well. We've brought back a couple of players for future contracts. We've got Lindstrom, the center from Boston College. He was pretty good in his college days. Made some okay plays during training camp and stuff like that. So I'm glad he's going to be coming back for year two, under that futures contract. So we've made a couple of moves already. I think it kind of might give us a wee indication what we're maybe potentially looking to see. That I think even linebacker and defense as well, we need more depth as well, because we've got Parsons, who's got a big year. Like, his contract year is going to be coming up soon. We've got LVE. Are we going to bring him back? That's the big question, I think.
I think so.
Because to me, I think he should be priority number one, because you saw the difference when LVE was not on the field this year under Dan Quinn. And it's pretty evident. Like, LVE had a great year. And I don't care what anyone says. It's like, yeah, but he's injury prone and stuff like that. It's like, maybe so, but this year he may be not making the big plays, the big hits, the sacks and that, but he is
pretty big play.
But he is eating up those running backs. He is stopping them in their feet. He is making offenses rethink their strategy when LVE is on that field.
Yeah, you're right on that. I think another position, obviously, that is a glaring need is cornerback.
Yeah.
You see them potential. I mean, you haven't looked through everybody yet, but like, that's going to be one of the top picks, I feel like, for them.
Potentially. I mean, obviously, we need to see what the state of Antonio Brown is and stuff like that. I don't like Boss Man Fah, Kelvin Joseph. I don't see him. He's not really lived up to expectations. Like, you're a second-round draft pick, and he's only really been on for special teams. You would expect a lot more. So, cornerback, for sure. I think we will address that in the draft. Maybe even free agency. We might pick up a couple of guys that Dan Quinn likes in free agency on one of those bargain deals, like a Jaron Kearse deal, or who knows. Again, I think it really does come to pick number 26, especially as best player available. I think that might be the case.
Yeah, I mean, they did that with Micah Parsons and it worked, so fine by me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Honestly, like, and you mentioned, you know, there are a lot of guys whose contracts, they're going to be like unrestricted free agents and, you know, just free agents in general. But, with the re-signing of Dan Quinn, how do you feel like that's going to affect those at least defensive re-signings?
A lot. Massively. Like, would you want to kind of keep elevating your game and learn under Dan Quinn and under his positional coaches? Or would you want to kind of learn someone who might teach you something completely different and it might not actually work out for you? Like, if it's working for you and you feel like you can still keep on improving and improving and improving under Dan Quinn, you'd be over the moon that he's still there.
I think not only does he have a say in these potential contracts being signed, but I feel like he's also going to be a big reason why someone would stay and take a deal. So
yeah, I totally agree. 100%.
Definitely had that on the offensive side of the ball. We'll figure it out, though.
I think that's going to be the biggest question mark this season. What are we going to do offensively? Not just players-wise, coaches-wise as well. The culture and the offense needs to change, I think.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
So. I'm just agreeing with you left and right. Look at me.
There we go. We're going all three angles here.
Do you have any thoughts on Tony Pollard and Zeke?
Yeah, I do. I think they're being harshly criticized way too much, considering like Zeke is no longer the type of running back that you got in his first 2 years under, like, here's the difference, right? And this is, I did my due diligence on this, right? Zeke played a different type of style of running back under Scott Linehan. When you saw him play under Kellen Moore, he's played more of that, eating up those yards, and we're seeing Tony Pollard being more the elusive player. So it's two completely, it just shows you that what an OC can do to your running game massively. And we saw how successful Zeke was just on his own without any backups. He was a powerhouse under Scott Linehan. Don't get me wrong, under Scott Linehan, he was predictable as hell as a coach. Like, you knew what he was going to do. Whereas on the other side, Kellen's, I don't know how to describe Kellen more. And this is the big problem, I think, is the identity of this offense. That's the problem. Like, we're using Zeke more to gain those third down, like first, like those short yards, and Tony Pollard is there to make the big plays now. But don't get me wrong, there's a lot. I still think like Zeke contributes so much to this team, especially protecting Dak Prescott, his best friend. He is, without a shadow of a doubt, the best pass protecting running back in the NFL. People would say, oh, look at Derrick Henry. He's a big physical specimen, but he cannot block. When it comes to protecting Ryan Tannehill, when you look at other running backs out there, Saquon Barkley barely struggles to even protect Daniel Jones, and Daniel Jones has to run out the pocket. That's why he becomes so much more dangerous. And that's how Daniel Jones actually got the Giants to the playoffs, by running out the pocket, running up those yards. But where Zeke, if he's there in pass protection mode, he's there to actually stop guys from getting to Dak, and he does a really good job of that. And you see the difference between that and him and Pollard. So I think all things considering, even with Zeke getting, what, 9 touchdowns in a row, was it, this year? Like, almost set a record. Yeah. People forget that. Like,
of course, because they just want to bash somebody, and it's always Dak and Zeke together.
Yeah, yeah. Like, people don't really break, like, and this is the problem of our fan base in particular. Mm-hmm. We look at these headlines from the mainstream media, and we argue amongst ourselves so easily. I am one of those guys myself. Like every time I hear LeSean McCoy talk, I want to throw my remote control across the and hit the television. So, yeah. but when you have a sit down with someone that's on par with it, and you actually kind of break it down, like yourself, Meg, and likes guys from UK Cowboys and RG and stuff like that, everybody, like, it's like, you know what, our running game is not actually that bad. It's just how it's being utilized is the problem.
Yeah, that brings us right back to the beginning. They're not utilizing the weapons, and they're not giving anyone any.
See what I did there? I went full circle.
Oh, full circle. Look at him. We love.
Let's go, game. Baby.
Yeah. So I guess we've figured everything out, and you can send this to Jerry and let him know. So.
To be honest, I think here's my gut feeling. I think they know it is an issue.
Yeah, for sure.
Like. And I'm going to bring this up. Our good friend, who's been a guest on the show quite a few times, is J-Tuck, CFO Sports. He made a video at the start of the season, and he just revisited, talking about like Kellen Moore. There is no identity in this offense, and he was concerned at the start of the season without that identity, how things were going to go forward, and we're asking the same questions again.
Yeah, and I think the fact that we're still sitting here asking those questions is why they're making as many changes as they're making, and we'll see what they continue to do in the offseason. It's going to be something to definitely keep our eyes on.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I think we've sufficiently talked this through, at least for now. Well, I'm sure we'll have a lot more to go over next week and as we near the draft. But Paul, tell everyone where they can find you, call you, beep you, if they want to reach you.
Yeah, guys, you can follow me at Instagram and Twitter with my with the handle being IMP Stu, and I completely butchered the way I said that there, so I do apologize.
Yeah, at IMP Stu on Instagram and Twitter. I am at Meg Murray with 4 R's on Instagram and Twitter. And the off season has just begun, you guys. We have lots of stuff for you on bloggingtheboys.com every single day. We also put out podcasts every single day. So if you need to talk it through with somebody, we're here for you. Wherever you listen to podcasts, make sure you rate, review, subscribe, and tell Paul that he has great facial hair.
Hey.
All right, you guys. I think it's go Joe from us and go Cowboys.
Yep, Dallas forever, Philly for never.
Philly for never.